Хөрхөн охид trap сонсон trap сонсон trap сонсон trap донсон trap донсон. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дур булаан. Дагаж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We have a great, great show today. I got the Monkey God, Jared Brooks, as well as Max Payne Griffin. It's just me. Greg Wilson had some issues, so he couldn't make it today. It's supposed to be me and Greg, but Greg, we'll be back next week. I want to thank Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is legal in California, and there is no reason that you should have to leave your house to get it. Go to speedweed.com, at Speedweed. Okay, they have marijuana edibles, they have CBD oil, they have THC sex lube. They have all kinds of stuff. And just mentioned MMA Roasted, you get $10 off orders of $100 or more. So check them out, speedweed.com. Follow them at Speedweed. And let's talk to the great Max Griffin right now. Yo, Max Payne Griffin.
What's up, man?
How are you? I'm talking to you. I got my baby strapped to my chest.
Nice.
You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. It's just me and you, man, today. How are you, man?
I'm good, man.
You got screwed, bro.
I've been in the weird kind of place for a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't understand.
But, I feel good, man. I don't know.
When did you get back from Brazil?
I got back yesterday or Monday night.
Monday night you got back. So did you at least have a day or two you could actually have fun in Brazil?
Yeah, I mean, we enjoyed ourselves before. We went out there on that Monday. But yeah, we explored at the beach, different places, different restaurants. It was fun, man.
Now talk to me. So first round, you're beating this guy up. Thiago Alves, you're hitting him. You're dropping him. What, you dropped him, what, twice, three times first round?
Yeah, a couple times, yeah.
Now you think that should have been a 10-8 round?
I mean, it could have been, but even if it wasn't, just for the sake of argument, say it wasn't, you know, 10-9. Next round, he comes back. I get away from the jab. Bring it back in the fight. But if you look at the fight metric, he landed 48 shots. I landed 47. And I had like 89% accuracy.
Yeah, second round was close.
Like 60.
It was super close.
So even if he won that round, it wasn't that, you know, I was moving around more, backing up more. But I still landed the same amount of strikes.
Now, were you surprised he was able to kind of take your punches?
Yeah, he started hurting my hands. You know what I mean? My hands are mush right now. His head was so hard, you know what I mean?
But then that third round, you got the takedown. You were beating him up. Where does he win the third round?
And then I got actually almost three takedowns. So I took him down again, and I had two passes. He's on the ground for 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
Yeah, so where does he win the round? Like, how could they possibly? How does he win the third round? For argument's sake, how does he win that third round?
I don't know.
I mean, like I said, having R. Kelly.
And I outstruck him.
Yeah.
In that round as well.
Like I said, having R. Kelly host the Teen Choice Awards is a better decision than that. It was bullshit. It was complete bullshit.
Yeah.
But. I mean, do you think the UFC knows that was bullshit? You think Dana and Sean Shelby and these guys know that you really won that fight?
I talked to Mick. They agree with me. You know, they agree with everybody else. You know, they thought I won. I mean, like all the employees, the announcers. I spoke to everyone, the employees backstage, everything online, all the charts, all the websites, their scores, everybody, you know? It's just, so they know I'll win, but for me, it's more about the bonus, or my win bonus, you know, my win money, you know? And even maybe fight of the night bonus, but we didn't get fight of the night. We would have, but they didn't award one, which they always award one. But that's whatever. But at least my win money, I fight for a living. Like, it's not... You know, I can't fight somewhere where you win and then, like, you don't win.
Yeah.
To me, it's like, I don't know, man. So I'm not fighting out there again. I really just want to fight again soon, man. I'm in fight shape. I'm not hurt at all. My only injury is, like, my collarbone from just hitting him so many times with my right hand. It's like tension on my chest, like, just from that impact.
Now, it did appear you were a little tired in the second. Were you tired in the second round?
I was catching some shots, you know. I was trying to recover. You know, we landed a lot of shots at each other on that fight, in that round, you know what I mean? You know, I don't know.
Man, that was bullshit, man. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you had to deal with that. I felt bad. I was like, you won that fight. You won. You can't tell me. The only thing that, like, you could say is that it wasn't, like, the judging in MMA is so bad that that wasn't the worst decision I've ever seen. And that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Like, as bad as you got screwed, I've seen guys get screwed a lot worse. But that shouldn't take away from you getting screwed. But it's just like, yeah, he got screwed, but you're almost expected now in MMA. And that's a big problem.
I thought it was so clear for me, like, it was so clear that I won. Clap off like that. When it's tied up, you got to go in the third round. And then if you get taken down 2-3 times, like, someone's on top of you, you lost that fight.
Yeah.
I mean, you know you did, you know? When it's that close, even if it was neck and neck, I mean, if someone takes you down a few times and you're just getting dominated, like, you know you lost that fight. Straight up.
I completely agree.
That was one sometimes,
I completely agree. I completely agree.
Maybe not. Fuck, maybe not.
No, yeah, you're right.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do not know. I'm just going to have to finish everyone I fight. That's just how it's going to have to be.
Yeah, but you're
no
not. I mean, yeah, but I mean,
you have good.
But you have good punching power. But you don't have, like, you're not Anthony Johnson. You know what I'm saying? Like, that could fuck you up. Yeah. That could fuck you up in the long run. Trying to finish every fight, because there's times like Aaron Pico. You know, you shouldn't have to finish every fight. You know, if you don't have, like, devastating. I mean, you have great power. Don't get me wrong. You're an amazing fighter. You're one of the best in the world. But if that's not your style and you beat someone up the whole fight, they shouldn't take that from you.
Yeah, yeah, you should win.
Right.
You should win the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you win a fight, I mean you could look at the control, the takedowns, the first round, and like I said, even I posted a thing yesterday from the UFC stats, it's all the stats. And I outstruck them in the third round.
Yeah,
I landed more punches, and I took him down twice. And you can't say that person didn't win that round. Like, no matter who it was, it's impossible. It's, you know, for me, it's about the win money. You know what I mean? Like, I won. Yeah, I got another L, which is more shit. And like I said, Mick and Sean, they all know. They agree. Reed, everyone says, yeah, no, you won, man. Everyone. So, but I mean, you know I did what I did. We were both in the fight, me and Thiago. Much respect. I talked to him. You know, they didn't think they won. Him and Mike Brown, we talked to him after. They didn't think they did enough to win the fight. You know, he's like, that's good. But that doesn't make me feel any better. You know, I feel good that I came out pretty much unscathed and fought my, you know, one of my idols, you know.
But is it primarily
sure.
the money?
I'm always critical of myself.
Now, what do you think you could have done a little differently?
Yeah, I should have just finished him in the third, man. When I had control of him for that time, I should have just, you know, threw more strikes, especially if I wasn't going to win. I mean that, you know, that's here or there, because, you know, should have, would have, could have, but I felt like I clearly won that fight.
I think so,
now
too.
I'm just going to have to, like I said, fight somewhere where the judges award, you know, by what happens in the round. I have to at least fight somewhere like that with some kind of accountability.
Yeah, that's rough.
Otherwise, man, I can't wait to get out again. I told Sean and Nick that I want to fight like next month. I'm not harmed at all. I'm in fight shape. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, but don't rush it if like because of a bad decision. You know what I'm saying? I've seen people do that before where something they get fucked over, so they kind of try to make up for it, and then they get completely fucking screwed. Like, you know, like Bisping was so embarrassed by losing to GSP. I think he was like, I'm going to fight Kelvin, and, you know, on a week notice, then gets knocked out by Kelvin. So let your body recover. You know, don't, if it's not just because of the bad decision.
But what I'm saying is, like I don't want to fight, like, one more time this year. Like, I want to fight, like, again right now.
Right. Like, well, I'm not going to fight you.
You know.
But, yeah.
I'm in shape. I'm not damaged at all. Like I said, my only damage, I just have a sore shoulder. No stitches, no marks on my face, no marks on my legs. Like, I've never came out of a fight like this clean, you know?
Did he hurt you at all? Did he rock you at all during the fight?
It wasn't like a whoa kind of rock, you know? It more made me fatigue in the second, you know, getting hit like that. It wasn't like I was stumbled, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really hit that hard, honestly. That's why I didn't check a lot of those kicks. At first, I was, you know, expecting like a crippling leg kick, but they were just, you know, I felt like I'd be better off just sticking them when he kicked me instead of checking them, and, you know.
Right.
They weren't that bad.
Now, did you bring your girl with you to Brazil?
Huh?
Did you bring your lady with you to Brazil? Your girlfriend? Did she make
it? I did.
Now that night, did she, like, I know you're in a bad mood. You get back to the hotel. You're like, those fucking judges, this is bullshit. Did she just lie you down, tell you to shut up, and, like, just ride you, or no?
I don't remember. She did do that out there, but I don't remember which day it was.
Oh, so it was, like, before the fight and not after? After she was like, you're a loser, and went back with him? I mean, come on. It was...
It was all good, man.
Okay. Now, after the fight, are you in a bad mood? Are you, like, not talking to anybody? Are you pouting? Or are you just like, ah, fuck it, that was bullshit? My baby wants to know, too.
No, I was good this fight. It wasn't like I lost, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different if you, like, really lose. You know, I felt bad for my teammate Anthony, lost his debut. I felt bad for him, but for me, you know, I did what I had to do, you know, and I felt successful even though the judge did me.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is, you know. Like I said, like, I know what happened. You know, I feel like I did win. Like, I know I beat him. You know what I mean? Like, man to man, like, me and him fought and we were together and that's how it turned out. Like, yeah. I got him. So
I felt the same way.
I'm not going to let a judge kind of ruin how I felt about my performance.
I felt the same way.
And grow and do more of the first. You know, I have a lot of shit. I'm so critical of myself.
I thought it was complete bullshit.
I
should
have made that second round like that first round, and then it would have been that. So, I just got to learn, and I'm learning. And I'm really looking forward to going back out there.
Now, two guys in your weight class are fighting for the title. Tyron Woodley versus Usman, who do you think wins that fight?
Man, I think Woodley, man. I'm thinking Woodley because I think Usman's going to try to wrestle him in that. But Woodley has really good wrestling defense, too. Woodley's proven his wrestling that he could keep it up so he can strike, you know? I think it's going to end up being like a striking battle.
What about Askren versus Robbie Lawler?
Askren versus... Man, they did her. I understand how they did her like that. It's business. It sucks, but it's business. You know what I mean?
No. I'm saying Ben Askren versus Robbie Lawler.
Oh, I thought you said Aspen.
Oh, no, Aspen Ladd. Yeah, she got fucked over, too. But I'm talking about
Aspen.
No, Ben Askren versus Robbie Lawler.
Oh, no. I think Robbie Lawler.
Really?
I think he has decent enough. We'll see if he can keep a stand in. If not, then it's not going to go in. It's not going to go well.
Yeah. What about this week? Robert Whittaker versus Kelvin Gastelum.
I'm going for my boy Kelvin.
I just
be a good fight. But I'm going for my man Kelvin, man.
Have you ever trained with Kelvin?
No, I don't know. I don't know. We must be a lot of each other in off online, and we were at the retreat. You know, he's good people.
Were you at the retreat when Mike Perry was like wanted to fight people?
What's that?
Were you there when Mike Perry was like starting shit with people at that retreat?
They blow that out of proportion though, you know?
Yeah.
They blow that kind of stuff out of proportion.
Yeah. And you like
owe him a little smack.
I don't understand how like he's still like everyone just likes him, but he like keeps losing. I mean, you were the guy. I mean, you really exposed him. Although his fight against Matt Brown, I hope Matt Brown wins, but I'm worried about Matt Brown for that fight.
Is he fighting Matt Brown?
That's what they're saying. They're saying that that's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he blocked me. I can't see none of his stuff.
Perry blocked you on Twitter? Why?
And on Instagram.
Why?
Because he was talking shit. He was talking shit about my mom. And I sent him a bunch of pictures of him bleeding. And then you blocked me. So I got to smack him. I owe him a backhand slap.
Yeah, your mom. Why are you talking shit about your mom? What does your mom have to do with this? It's ridiculous.
He was having some... He has those nails. He has those, like, cracked nails. His nails are so long and nasty.
Yeah.
His fingernails. They're like an inch and a half, inch and three quarters long. Like, they're just nasty. And he actually cut my nose. So in me and his fight, the only damage I had was him slicing open my nose with his fingernails.
Oh, my God.
So I have a scar on my nose from that. So I give him shit every once in a while. Like, hey, you need to cut your nails. We'll do up. You know? Just back and forth shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then one day he got really upset about it. You know, he said my mom likes my name, her nail, his nails or something. I was like, what? I'm looking.
Yeah, that's over the line.
Look, it smacked you in the face. Can you say anybody anything else?
I don't think your mom would like it. I don't think your mom would like his nails at all.
I'm going to smack him when I see him.
Yeah, fuck that. Your mom would not like
his
nails.
I really am going to smack him when I see him, though. I really am. Just so he knows, if you're listening. Yeah. And I'm going out to Orlando in a couple weeks.
Damn. What for?
I'm going to his gym. To his gym to go train with some of the Fusion XL guys.
Wow, you're going to his gym.
Fresh, his coach, Julian Williams. I'll be at his gym the 18th through like the 23rd, the 22nd of this month.
Can you make sure someone films this?
You got to tell him.
Make sure someone puts this on like on a cell phone recorder. Someone, you know, on a camera, because I want to see this part two, you versus Mike Perry.
I'm going, dog. I already got my tickets and shit.
Damn. Do you watch any of that?
I'm going for work, so I'll be out there.
You watch any of the bare knuckle boxing?
I do watch it. I saw that dude, though, the main event. I know that dude, Julian, from The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
And he fought that little Garcia dude, man, right?
That was a great fight. Man, that was a great fight. Garcia put it on him. I mean, he dropped Leonard in the first round, but then Leonard just came back and just destroyed him.
Yeah. No, he was exciting, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
That's so dangerous.
I would never do that. I mean, I would never do any of that. Would you ever think about doing bare knuckle boxing?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No.
I don't know. I plan on being in the UFC for a long time, so no.
Yeah. Anderson Silva versus Israel? Saturday night?
Israel is the truth, man. Israel's the truth.
Yeah, I really wasn't on that. I wasn't on board until I saw him just destroy Derek Brunson and Brad Tavares.
I was on board, but not on that. Like, you know, after the Brunson thing, I was like, yeah, this dude's a no joke.
Yeah. I mean, I hope Anderson Silva wins, but I don't know about this one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But he's been out a while, you know.
But yeah, this one's...
He hasn't been the same since he got that broken leg, man.
Yeah, well, he kept testing positive for, like, what he says were, like, dick pills or something, you know? But I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I don't understand. These guys need dick pills so much. I mean, what's going on here? Like, I've never needed a dick pill in my life, you know?
That's why you got the baby in your chest. Right.
I just don't. I mean, your wife rubs you a couple ways, and all of a sudden you got a boner. I mean, it's just like, if you got to think of someone else. Not that I do, but fuck, what's wrong with these guys? It's fucking lazy.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's lazy. Now, you think Anthony Smith has got a shot against John Jones?
Alec? What's his name?
Anthony Lionheart Smith.
Yeah. I think he has better than a 1-13 chance.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bet on that.
Me too. Yeah, me too. I hope
right?
he wins.
The odds, is that true? 1-13?
Yeah, 13-1. Yep.
That's crazy. I wanna bet on that for sure.
I think Jones might want to prove a point and do some crazy shit and then get caught. You know,
yeah, Anthony, he's good, man. He's real good. He's real sharp. He's real, like basic, but like deliberate, you know, like he's not too flashy, you know, he's kind of like Stipe, like he'll just, I don't know, man.
Like nothing he's great, good. But everything good.
Yeah. Everything is like. Good enough to win in any way, you know?
Yeah, I would love for him to win. He's a nice guy, too. And like yourself, he's half black. So don't you have to root for him, right? I mean, don't you have like a...
Is he?
Yeah, he's half black.
Is he?
Yep.
My brother.
I mean, right?
There you go.
There you go, right?
All right. See, you got some more points and shit.
Yeah, if he's there's a lot of guys that are half black in the UFC. You, Anthony Smith, John Dodson is half black, half Filipino. Who else? I think Robbie Lawler looks like he's half black. I don't know if he is, but he looks like it. He looks like he's half something. I'm not sure what he is. Who else? Ben Henderson, I think, is black and Korean, right? Ben Henderson.
I don't know.
I don't know.
There's a lot of us.
I mean, that's four.
It's like 500 of us.
That's four. Who else is half black? There's got to be more. I don't know. But well, listen, buddy. You got screwed, man. You got screwed, Max. I'm sorry, but you got everything going for you. You're in the UFC. You got a hot wife or hot... Is she a wife or fiance or girlfriend? What is she?
She's girlfriend.
You got a hot girlfriend?
She'll get there.
You got a nice kid? You have a kid, right?
Yep.
How old is your kid now?
He's seven.
Did he think you won?
Yeah, he did.
There you go. You're a good guy.
He's a cheater.
You live in Sacramento. You got everything going for you. All right.
When are you coming back out of here, man?
Hopefully soon. You'll be the first to know. I promise. Well, listen, keep your head up, man.
For sure, man.
Max Payne Griffin, you're the best, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir, man. Peace out, brother.
Where can people find you on social media?
Find me at Max Payne MMA, MAXPAINMMA. Cool. Twitter, Instagram mainly. Holla at me.
We definitely do. Thanks a lot, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
Bye.
Yeah, brother. Peace.
All right, that was Max Payne Griffin. I like that guy. He's a good dude. I thought he won. I know he won. I mean, it's just bullshit, man. I can't deal with this nonsense, you know? It's like, you want to fight, you want to fight. It's fucking judges, man. But of course, it was like the judges in, you know, Brazil against a Brazilian fighter. It's not right. It's not right. I tell you. Yeah, the guy won. I can't see how he didn't win. I know people love Thiago Alves, and Thiago Alves is a great fighter, a great champion. Nothing but love for Thiago Alves. But Max Payne Griffin won that fight. I'll watch it again, and I'll have the same opinion. He won the first, maybe even a 10-8 in the first. And he won the third. You know. Anyway, we're calling Jared Brooks the Monkey God. Right now, the Monkey God, good dude. Like this guy. What's up, people? Sexual performance issues, they're way more common than you think. Yes, it's all over the place. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under the age of 40. 40% of men by the age of 40 struggle from not being able to get and maintain an erection. Even the world's greatest actor can't fake one. Who's the world's greatest actor? De Niro, Pacino? They can't fake an erection. And why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing? Well, they can turn instead to medicine and science. Go to forhims.com. It's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, ED can be optional because Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat ED. Yeah, there's no waiting room, no awkward in-person doctor visits, no lines. You could save hours by going to forhims.com. It is so easy. Answer a few quick questions and chat with a doctor for confidential review. The products are shipped directly to your door. It's hard made easy. Say hello to your little friend. Try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. Just go to hims.com/MMARoseToED. That's forhims.com/MMARoseToED. forhims.com/MMARoseToED. What's up, people? Most subscription boxes are full of samples and junk you'll never use. But not BattleBox. It's the monthly subscription box for men, full of solid gear for adventure seekers, survivalists, and outdoor enthusiasts. Yeah, BattleBox is your monthly subscription for hand-picked outdoor survival and everyday carry gear. BattleBox introduces you to the best products, new gear, and innovative companies at a much lower cost than if you were to buy them individually. Plus, who doesn't like to get a package full of mystery adventure gear? I know I do. I love that stuff. So, go to trybattlebox.com/MMAroasted and pick the box you want. They start at just $25 per month. Plus, they release a video for each new box so you can see what's coming and how to use it. They shipped over 500,000 boxes, and they've won Best Men's Subscription Box of 2017. Yeah, sign up today and be ready for anything. So now, through March, our listeners get a free tactical knife when you sign up for your first battle box at trybattlebox.com/MMAroasted. Yeah, that's trybattlebox.com/MMAroasted. That's trybattlebox.com/MMAroasted. Check it out. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. They have a simple and intuitive clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Listen, Robinhood, they have so many advantages, okay? Like the Robinhood app, their cost, they have no commission fees. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees and they don't keep all your profits, okay? Their design is easy to use. They have easy to understand charts and market data. You can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Yeah, you learn by doing, okay? You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You can discover new stocks and track your favorite companies with personalized news feed. And you get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right time to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up at mmaroasted.robinhood.com. That's mmaroasted.robinhood.com. Hello. Hey, is this Jared Brooks, the Monkey God?
Yes, it is.
What's going on? You're on the MMA Roasted Podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. How you doing, man?
What's up, man?
By the way, I'm loving your rap battles. I had no idea how good of a rapper you were. You are right now in a major battle, not only against Brian Kelleher, but against Tyron Woodley. You're taking up every... Now you and Woodley are going at it. What's going on with this? Talk to me.
Oh, hey, man. I wish Tyron the best of luck. He's going to need it against Kamaru. But, yeah, I just think that I'm the best rapper in MMA. Justin and I, Justin Scoggins, he's going to be recording with me here soon. We're going to release some stuff. I don't know if I'm going to do a diss on Tyron. I'm kind of dissing people that I feel like that I can fight. You know what I'm saying? In the future, I feel like that is a big key in where I'm at. But yeah, if Tyron wants the words, I'll give him the words. But as far as fighting Tyron, holy shit.
Okay, yeah, you don't want to fight Tyron. But now, so you made you came out first, right, with this rap battle. You rapped, you were good. It was kind of just you were freestyling, or did you write the lyrics down?
Okay, so actually Brian, he started just doing regular raps. Brian Keller.
Right.
He did regular raps on his Twitter handle, and I was like, and he said that he was the best rapper in MMA, and right. I was just like, no, says I. And then Justin, he started rapping, and then Justin and Brian kind of got into the rap battle, and I put my two cents in after that. But this has been in the talks for like the past month. But I usually write, but I can freestyle really well too.
Now, have you ever rapped? Like, have you ever actually done an actual rap battle? Like, gone to one of those underground clubs, or have you ever rapped professionally, or been paid for your rapping, or have you ever done a concert or anything?
You know, I'm not usually a battle rapper. I'm usually just about making music and, you know, making hip hop. Hip hop is different from, you know, rap. But I love battle rapping too, especially somebody that is a fighter and somebody I can dig dirt on, you know.
Now, where can people hear some? You have any songs out? Can people hear any of your past songs or anything?
This is what I'm doing right now with it. I kind of follow the footsteps of like Roy Jones Jr. You know, he was a champion, and then he released whatever stuff he was working on for the past years. Because, I mean, any rapper, they've been rapping for years. You know what I'm saying? So, except for Tyron. I don't know what was up with that. But
Tyron, I mean, his first song was really good. I'll Beat Your Ass.
Yeah, I liked his first song.
I mean, this was just him just doing a verse on someone else's song. And people didn't seem to like it. I thought it was fine. What are people mad because
he's hilarious?
Either people mad because he was throwing dollar bills at strippers and he's kind of a family man. Was that kind of what people were mad at? Or what do you think was mad about? People weren't so mad about it.
One, it's just a bunch of haters. You know what I'm saying? Like, people will hate even if you're doing really good. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand that platform. But in the verse, he did say some stuff to where a father figure, UFC champion, I personally wouldn't say in a rap to where, you know, over a million people can see that. But
right.
I mean, at the same time, I'm not going to hate on. I just said straight ass on your stuff. I wasn't even commenting on his. I didn't think that he would even see it. But yeah, he responded to me and he said, like, your fight style. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah. So now you and him are now in like a battle. And because he was like, who the
I
fuck?
I would love to get in a rap battle with Tyron Woodley if he wasn't killer, bro.
Yeah. Well, he's a lot bigger
if he doesn't threaten to whoop my ass.
Well, he's also a lot bigger. If you guys are the same weight,
I'll dig dirt on Tyron and do everything possible. But I know Tyron personally, and he ain't one to fuck with. That's for sure.
Yeah. No. Okay. Got it. All right. Got it. Now, let's talk about your fighting career. You got cut from the UFC. Complete bullshit. You just won your last fight. That was a fucking. You did great. The one fight you knocked yourself out. I mean, and the other fight was a split decision, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you really haven't, and then you also, you were basically what, 3-2 in the UFC, 4-2?
I was 2-2. I lost to Jose Torres and Davison Figueroa, and yeah, that's what. Here, one sec, man. Sorry.
I think we lost him. All right, we're gonna call him back. All right, here we go. All right, we are calling the monkey god.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. So you lost.
I lost to Figueroa and I lost to Torres, but I beat Shelton and I forget his name, to be honest.
The last guy you beat was a killer. Yeah. Last guy you beat was a killer, and you beat him like everyone was. You were the underdog in the last one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you look great in that. Torres fight, I don't really count that as a loss. As much as I love Jose Torres, you were dominating that fight. You just knocked yourself out. You really, I think, only lost one fight. And that even that was an argue you could win. And then they cut you. Why? How did that happen?
Well, I was hearing through the grapevine and stuff like that they were going to cut the division and stuff like that. And, you know, when I got cut, I was like, okay, well, you know, at least the rest of the flyweights are getting cut, you know, and we can go to another promotion or something like that. But in the end game, it kind of, don't get me wrong. I'm going to be in the UFC at 125 or 135 anyway. But, you know, fighting back is the biggest thing. And I got two fights in the next 2 months that I'm going to be doing real quick. And I just got to, you know, climb back up and show my craft and hone my skills and show everybody that I am one of the best in the world at any weight class.
You are. I mean, you absolutely are. I mean, you're a wrestling, you were like, what, a 5-time state champion or something? It was kind of insane. A 4-time?
Yeah. I was a 3-timer, yeah.
3-time state champion. Your jiu-jitsu, according to you, you'll beat any brown belt in the world in jiu-jitsu, possibly black belt. You
got in my weight.
In your weight. Okay. And like your weight. Your striking is great. And then I saw you're fighting in some like high school gym coming up. Like, what is this bullshit? Where are you fighting?
I'm fighting for TWC. It's called Total Warrior Combat. It's Pete Chung. He's really interconnected with Uriah. Uriah brings his guys that, you know, want to get in the UFC. It's pretty much a building kind of place.
Okay, and who are you fighting?
I'm fighting Josh Robinson. He's fought a lot of UFC veterans over the past years, but I'm going to go out, do short work, and show where I am in the sport. And, you know, I'll be in the UFC within the next half a year to year.
1,000%. I mean, don't overlook this guy, obviously. We can't overlook him because we need the win.
Oh, I'm not.
We need the win. Now, but have you thought about going to like a Ryzen or some of these other promotions?
You know, I have had a lot of conversations about this with my manager and coaches and stuff like that. When it comes down to one, Ryzen is just like, you know, they're looking for some kickboxer kind of guys, which I have like totally rotated my style in fighting. I mean, I am a great wrestler and everything, but my kickboxing skills have gotten, you know, right there with the best of the best in the world. So hopefully, you know, I could get a call from Ryzen also, but ONE FC, they don't want me at 115 because all their Asian promotions, they have, you know, their Filipino champions, they have, you know, that are making them money. So when they bring an American in there that talks trash and stuff like that, then they don't really like that. So I understand where they're coming from, but I mean, I can adjust. I can do anything that anybody wants me to. I'm a mixed martial artist. So
right now, I mean, could you make 115?
Oh, easily, man. I weigh like probably 128 pounds, but I'm like literally starting my pretty much diet of getting bigger.
Wow.
It's so hard to gain weight.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, because when I see you on TV, you look like you're like 180. I mean, not that you just look huge. You know what I'm saying? Like you're all fucking jacked and shit. I can't believe you're 128 pounds. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. I don't cut weight at all to get to 125. That's why I feel like I'm a big dark horse in this division, man, because all these guys are killing themselves. And after 3 to 4 years, you know, it's either you're going to have the new guy that is, you know, green in the sport or the old guy that's dead from cutting weight.
Right, right, right. Speaking of which, were you surprised at the TJ Dillashaw Cejudo fight?
No, I wasn't. I saw Cejudo. He looked a lot more full. He looked a lot more hungry for the title. And I think if it happened again, I don't think it'd be that quick of a knockout, but I feel like Dillashaw would get beat again at 125.
Wow. Now, what if they fought at 135?
That's a different story, man. I think that TJ Dillashaw is a hell of an opponent at 135. But, you know, cutting down to 125 and then going back to 135, you don't get your mass like you usually do. So who knows?
Yeah, I was like, I mean, when he got pushed over in that fight, like when Cejudo just pushed him and he went flying, I'm like, this is not good. This is not good.
Yeah.
I was like, that should not happen.
It made me realize a lot about what this sport is about. You know what I'm saying? He has a lot of Henry Cejudo has a lot of star power that hasn't been brought out yet, and I would like to be one of those people that brings it out of him.
Well, listen, man, you're on your way. I mean, you're honestly like I watch you fight. You are one of the best in the world. It's just a matter of people realizing it. You just had the Torres was an unlucky break. But you're right there. And I don't know. I mean, the 125, I don't understand. I get it. 125 isn't a draw, but I think also having like, Demetrius Johnson as the poster boy, as great as he is, and I love him, but in this like attitude era of the UFC didn't help.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people want to see the Conor McGregors or the John Joneses or the Cormiers or even the Ben Askren. They want you to have a personality, and that's just not Demetrius Johnson.
Yeah, I feel like he's somebody that, you know, belongs in one. He's a very respectful mixed martial artist, always, you know, hones his skills and doesn't overlook anybody. He's very smart and compelling, but if you don't put anything out on the line, nobody's going to watch you. So I'm gonna put my ego and everything else on the line so people will watch me. Just like Artem Lobov said, he said that it doesn't matter what his record is, he's still more successful than 80% of the UFC just because people watch his fights.
I know, which is crazy. But also, but if he wasn't McGregor's best friend, nobody would watch his fights.
True.
I mean,
Artem Lobov is a mean motherfucker, though, bro.
I would not fuck with Artem Lobov on any day. I'm like, any on my best day, that guy's a fucking killer. But he just happened to be McGregor's best friend, and it just happened to be like that guy. McGregor is such an enigma that his friends become celebrities in their own right. I mean, if Dylan Danis if Dylan Danis didn't become friends with McGregor, people wouldn't know Dylan Danis. But his friends are almost like. They're almost like, it's like fucking, he's like the Joker, and these are like the Penguin and like the other guys, the Riddler, you know, it's like he has this fucking.
That's awesome, though.
This band of fucking idiots.
That's so cool.
Who do you think wins, Cowboy or McGregor, if they fight?
I think it would be a nice win for Cerrone. You know, if he doesn't get caught with a pure left hand. But I think that Cerrone is just somebody that digs and digs, and he's a chopper, and he's better jiu-jitsu, better wrestling. I think that he could get Conor on the ground. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I will never, ever count Conor McGregor out because I did that earlier in his career.
Yeah.
And I learned that's a mistake to do.
Me too. I kept betting against him. And finally, I'm like, he's going to beat Khabib. And then, of course, I ended up losing that bet. I was just wondering. Yeah, your boy,
Adam,
Justin.
What are you talking about, bro? You're one of the best comedians out right now, son.
Oh, thank you, man. Well, it's like you. I just got. I'm waiting for that major exposure. But that's the thing. It's like you got to stay ready. You can't, you know, all of a sudden be ready when the spotlight comes on you. You have to be ready already. You know, I've seen so many comics. Like, yeah, they get their shot, but it's too early or too late. They're not in their peak. It's like I have to be every night doing comedy, getting better and better and better. So when the light finally shines on me, it's like, holy fuck, where'd this guy come from? And like people like you will know that.
Yeah.
But other people are going to be like, oh, he was an overnight success. Yeah, 20 fucking years in the making, you know.
But yeah.
That's just.
Dude, I feel you so much on there.
It's just the nature of the beast. But that's, but you see that with sports all the time. I mean, you see the guys like a guy like Winky Wright in boxing, or some of these guys that just, they, even like Robbie Lawler, he just like, but when he finally got his title shot, like the hardcore fans knew Robbie Lawler or Eddie Alvarez or some of these other guys. Like everyone knew who these guys were. It's just like all of a sudden these new people were like, holy fuck, did you hear about this fighter named you know, whoever it is? Like, and you're like, oh, yeah, I of course I know who that is. I've been following him for, you know, 15, 20 years or 7, 8 years at least, you know?
And everybody thinks he's new.
Yeah, everyone, people are just like, oh my God, you know, but there are a lot of guys out there. There's a lot of guys out there that are just grinding. Like, unfortunately, Colby Covington was that guy that I thought was like, here's a guy that you want to watch before he started opening his mouth. And now people like the light got shine on him, and for better or worse, but there was a guy that was like, just an underground, just working his way through people, you know? And there are a lot of guys out there like doing that. You're like, oh shit. Like if this guy, like Amanda Nunes, like when I saw her fight, I'm like, this girl's going to be the champion. You know, when she was beating Sarah McMahon and girls like that, I'm like, and people were like, yeah, right. I'm like, no, like look at the way she's beating these people. She's not beating fucking schlubs. She's knocking out people in one round. Eventually she got her fucking shot and she's knocking out Cyborg. But
yeah,
you know, I fucking love.
I think Amanda needs to accredit me my wrestling skills to her, because I was the American Top Team wrestling coach.
Really?
For the girls.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
She ain't ever got taken down.
You wait. So you're the girls' American Top Team coach now? You are still.
No, not anymore. I left when Scoggins left.
Ah. Did you...
But Amanda, nobody knew who Amanda was when I was working with her and her girlfriend and Tisha Torres and the rest of the girls, Carolina, every one of those girls.
Wow. Now, how good is that other girl, the Olympian in the PFL?
The Olympian?
Kayla Harrison.
I have never worked with her or seen her, to be honest.
She's a 2-time gold medalist. She's over at American Top Team, but she's bigger. She's 155.
That might be good for Amanda then. So she might actually get that credit.
Yeah. Well, she is, but she's also they're doing a tournament, a PFL tournament for the winner gets $1 million, but they can't find any girls. Yeah. To be in her weight class. Like, how many girls do you know are 155?
Yeah, I mean, if I were Cyborg, I'd be jumping on that. I don't know. Cyborg might be making more money than the UFC.
$1 million? Really?
Gee, dude, Cyborg is a big draw in Brazil.
Yeah, that's a good point. If Cyborg never got popped for those steroids back in the day, I feel like she would be so much more appreciated by everybody.
You know, it's just the way she looks, you know, to your average girl, girls are going to be pissed off because she looks like a dude. Yeah. And then the dudes are going to be pissed off because she looks more masculine than the man.
Well, it's funny that people are always like, she looks like a dude. I'm like, what dude is that? I fucking don't look like that. I'm a dude. I've never in my life come close to fucking looking like that. She looks like, yeah. I mean,
Cyborg is the shit.
Yeah. Well, 1,000%. Now, what happened with Tank Scoggins that last fight? That was the weirdest submission I've ever seen.
Man, you know, Justin is just, he's literally one of the best mixed martial artists like I've ever worked with in my life. And when he gets to the ground, he just doesn't work there enough, dude. He beats everybody up. Like, it doesn't matter who it is in the gym. It could be from 155 down, and he is like literally beating the shit out of people. But when he gets in the fight, he gets a little tired and a little winded, and then he's on the ground. Shit happens, man. But I wish nothing but the best of luck to Justin, and you know, hopefully he can get signed back to the UFC also, because he deserves to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny though, he was like, afterwards they were like, what happened? He goes, I still have no idea. Like he got that was a crazy submission he got caught in.
Yeah, TP submission, bro.
Yeah, I've never seen that actually work. And like, I've seen it work on like like when I'm eating out chicks and stuff, and they do that stuff just to like make me feel better. But I've never actually seen it work in a fight.
Hey, when I fought in Pancras, those dudes over there will come up with the craziest submissions, and they run it like it's their job. So when you go to Japan, you better be ready to either get heel hook, triangled, everything.
Yeah,
those guys are sneaky, man.
Who do you like this week, Kelvin Gastelum or Whitaker?
I'm a really big fan of Whitaker, man. He's just somebody that has been through the up and downs and just killed everybody in his way, the best of the best. But, I mean, Yoel Romero deserves to fight Kelvin, in my opinion.
Deserves to fight Kelvin?
I think that Kelvin and Yoel should fight Whitaker.
Oh, right. First of all, Yoel, I think that guy's like 90 years old. You never know with those Cubans how old they are.
Jesus!
Yeah, fucking yelling gay Jesus. That guy, he's such a anomaly because he beat Karl Sanderson twice in wrestling. He never uses his wrestling. like he fights for literally 45 seconds for 15 minutes, and then he just kills people in that 45 seconds. Like, he just, yeah. It's crazy. But that Whitaker fight was awesome.
In Miami.
Yeah.
In Miami, we had this place that we went to called Little Cuba, where Ricardo Laborio used to take us, me, Justin, and Hector Urbina. And it was Yoel Romero's place where his trainer was. And Yoel is one of the realest people. Like, he's the realest inside and outside of the octagon that I've seen. Like, literally, he chants Jesus inside the place that he's training at.
Wow. What was it like being teammates with Hector Lombard?
Oh, well, the first time that we trained, we got into it because I took him down, and he wasn't really fond of that.
Wait, you're 125 pounds.
I kind of did this submissive puppy thing, like, don't beat my ass, Hector. And then he's like, you're part of my team now. And I was like, cool. I'll do whatever you want to do, Hector.
how did you manage to take Hector Lombard down?
Just not using any physical strength. I just did a super duck on him. It's something that you don't even have to touch the guy. Yeah. To get behind him. I just used my speed and athleticism to get behind him. And I think, yeah, he was a little mad. But, I mean, Hector's my boy at the end of the day, and I wish nothing but the best for Hector.
Yeah, me too. Wait, so you used the Bubba Jenkins Super Duck?
Oh, yeah. It was better than Bubba Jenkins Super Duck.
Wow. Wow. That's a fucking claim right there. I mean,
if you want to see one of my super ducks, look up Dapper Dan Dirty Super Duck.
Really? What you like? Show it? You did it like in a fight or a match or where is it?
It was actually I was on Team USA versus Team Pennsylvania. It's called the Dapper Dan Classic, and they take their best Pennsylvania wrestler versus the number one ranked recruit in the nation, which I was at the time, and. Flow Wrestling just hit, like, it was one of the nicest super ducks that they've seen.
Wouldn't Pennsylvania be in the USA? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I understand. Like, it's just Team USA. Like, they're saying that Pennsylvania is that good of a wrestling state.
Wow.
To where they could take on the best
who won?
In the nation.
Who won?
Oh, USA.
Oh, good.
Easy.
Good.
Yeah, the number one ranked recruits in the nation.
So were you and Colby friends back in American Top Team?
Me and Colby?
Yeah.
Yeah, Colby and I never really wrestled at all, and I didn't even think much of Colby when I was over there, to be honest. I overlooked him. And him and Jorge Masvidal, and they both just completely rose to their talent, and they have done nothing but just kill it in the game.
Was Mako your wrestling coach over there?
Masvidal?
No, Mako.
Oh, no. It was Tommy Barzini.
Got it. Who do you like, by the way?
He's...
Go on.
What did you say?
Tommy's what? What were you saying?
Tommy Barazzini, he's Robbie Lawler's pretty much head coach now, but he was Iran's Olympic wrestling coach for a while. Wow. And then he transferred over to American Top Team with when he was talking to Dan. But yeah, that guy's a crazy good wrestling coach. And Mako is too. I went to a couple of Mako's wrestling sessions.
Yeah. It was funny. Here's something funny. Like I was performing at Oklahoma State University back at like when they were all there. But I hadn't followed college wrestling in years or. You know, I was just like, I was doing comedy and I offended the entire school. But the first show was like at a sorority house. It couldn't have went better. It was me and like 50 OSU sorority girls. And then they afterwards like, hey, we got you a second show. And it was like, I was on like a table doing comedy while everyone's playing like poker, like fake card night. No one's looking at me. So I just called them like, I'm like, you guys are all losers. None of you guys are ever going to get laid in college. I was just doing anything I could to like try to make them laugh, which is not going well. So that night I'm out by myself, like drinking by myself. That's how bad it went. I never even drank. And I look over, I see these guys with like massive cauliflower ears. So I'm like, oh, you guys wrestle, blah, blah, blah. They're like, yeah. And then they took me under their wing for the night. I told them I was a comic. It was this guy, Zach Esposito was the guy, right? And Zach's like, hey, want to hang out in my trailer? I was like, I thought he was joking, right? And it really was like an actual trailer. So it's me, Mako, Esposito, and like a couple other guys, right? And we're having the best time. Like these guys were just Esposito was like a big Jim Norton fan, so I called Jim Norton for him, and he couldn't believe it. He was like, "Holy fuck, Jim Norton from Opie and Anthony!" And these guys, I mean, just the sweetest guys. Mako, we're talking about girls with me and Mako. So at the time, I watched like an ESPN thing, and I'm like, I watched this thing on ESPN wrestling where. Some guy and his dad went to jail for like embezzlement and he was the heavyweight. And I'm like, I think he went to Iowa and it was like, everyone just starts dying laughing because it was Mako. he was like, that's my dad. I'm like, oh fuck. Sorry, man. Like, dude, they laugh for like, dude, then there's a guy with like, then there's a guy at a bar. We meet this guy at a bar. He has no shirt on. He's double fisting beer bottles, drinking like a fucking psychopath. And you're like, that's our national champion, Johnny Hendricks. I'm like, that's the fucking national champion? I was like, holy fuck. Yeah, it was those guys. Crazy, right?
I used to call him Sully from Monsters, Inc.
Yeah. I mean, like, I couldn't believe it, but they were the nicest guys. Just a sweet bunch of guys, man. Yeah.
And that dude does some crazy-ass throws, too. Like, I have never seen somebody... I mean, he has a big-ass body, don't get me wrong, but somebody with... that big of a body do small man moves like he does.
Yeah, he's got these little arms, but like he's a complete badass. Mako, I like yeah. So now I gotta ask you, because you know Dan Lambert pretty well. I never met Dan Lambert, but so he's managing Colby Covington, right? And it seems like for a while Colby's antics are working. You know, he's like the Trump guy, kind of took off where Chael left off. He's the Red State fighter. You know, kind of says it like it is, talks all this shit. But now it took a turn for the worse, where he's like, I'm suing the UFC, Dana White has bitch tits, all this other shit. Is there any way that Lambert is telling him this is a good idea?
You know, you got two rich people fighting over a fighter. You know, that's how I see it. I think that Dan is... kind of pushing the envelope a little bit with Colby, you know, saying that Colby should sue and stuff like that. That just doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, getting money for Colby, that is a big priority for Dan. So I think that is, you know, the biggest priority in Colby and Dan's part. And Dana, it's, you know, trying to be as fair as possible, I guess.
Now, who do you think wins that fight, Colby or Tyron Woodley?
That is a very tough, because they train together. I feel like Colby is a little bit more structural, but Tyron is just somebody that is athletic and can put you out at any time.
Yeah. I mean, I just think, like, right, I hate to say it, I like both guys a lot. I hate to give, if I had to give the advantage in cardio, I'd give it to Colby. But And
yeah, cardio is definitely Colby for sure.
But everywhere else, I would say Tyron.
Yeah, Tyron is just a danger. Like, I mean, and, you know, I've fought some people that I've been like, oh, well, that's not how I thought it was going to be. You know, I didn't think he was going to be that tough, you know. And Tyron is one of those people where you have to be inside of the octagon with Tyron to be like, damn, okay.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I think what Colby has going for him is that he could possibly get Tyron so angry that Tyron, like, gets tired by round three, like, exhausted, because he wants to knock him out so bad, you know? But that seems like a pretty obvious, you know.
Colby hasn't gotten a fair shake with the fans, man. I mean, he has said some shit, don't get me wrong, but people don't understand that this is entertainment, bro. This is not... So he's trying to change the game, you know?
Yeah, yes.
That's all he's trying to do.
Yes, I agree, but...
I know Colby personally.
Yeah, right. He's a nice guy, but he does have that, like... I remember Ben Askren telling me that, like, he was coaching at ASU, and one of the guys was wrestling Colby Covington in college. And in the middle of the wrestling, Colby looked at Ben and goes, you don't want none of this. He's like, you're next, because he was winning the match. And Ben's like, I'm the coach. I was dying laughing when I heard that. But that's
awesome, though. That's something that, you know, people should be celebrating and not deeming, you know.
But have you ever heard of a wrestler talking shit to the other person's coach, in college wrestling?
No, that's crazy to me. I wouldn't challenge any coach in college wrestling.
Yeah, like, you can imagine, like, a wrestler going up to John Smith, like, what motherfucker, you want some of this, you know, or Kael Sanderson. It's crazy. Yeah. Fucking crazy.
Hey, if he has a big head, he has a big head. But the thing is, Colby never wrestled me. He was always afraid. And you can relay that on to Colby, too, because him or Jorge Masvidal, they never wanted to wrestle me.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
And then, like,
I was pissed off, too. I was like, you got Colby Covington, Oregon, you know, All-American. I didn't get to wrestle him.
So you went up to him and you said, hey, you want to wrestle? And he said no?
Yeah. Hey, man, Jorge Masvidal. Masvidal said he didn't want any problems. He was being real with it.
Now, maybe in MMA wrestling, who do you think wins in MMA wrestling, Colby or Tyron? Like, they just had a strict wrestling match.
Colby or who?
Tyron Woodley. Straight wrestling.
Oh, a straight wrestling match? Colby.
So maybe Colby does have the advantage in wrestling. I mean, it's just striking with Tyron.
You're saying, like, his striking compared to Tyron?
No, I'm saying, like, I'm trying to go over who has the advantage, you know? Like, I said cardio, Colby, striking. I think maybe wrestling Colby, striking Tyron.
Yeah.
Striking Tyron. And then grappling. Who do you think wins grappling? Straight grappling.
I would say Colby.
Yeah, this fight.
Colby over Tyron and grappling. But Tyron did take Damian Maia and, like, make his game minuscule.
Yeah.
But so did Colby, though.
So did Colby. Yeah, that's a good fight. It's a good fight. Now, Usman versus Tyron. Who do you think wins? Tyron versus Usman.
What did you say?
Tyron versus Usman against Kamaru.
I got the pleasure to train with Kamaru, and that dude is a very gifted athlete. That dude is crazy athletic, you know, great wrestler. He's a two-time national champion out of Nebraska, Kearney. I think that he could give Tyron some big problems in this fight, and a lot of people are sleeping over him.
Wow. So you're picking – so gun to your head, who do you pick?
I'm gonna go with the underdog and go with Usman on that, man.
Wow! Did you see Usman's manager got Tyron Ali got Tyron upset because he called him the P Diddy? He called him Diddy.
Oh man, that's great. Ali is somebody that hasn't gotten a fair shake either, bro. I think that he has a lot of past that he's tried to put behind him. But I feel like right now, as the man he is, he's a great guy, and he looks out for his fighters. Besides other fighters, he only looks out for his fighters, which is his job.
Yeah, I mean, he does a good job for his fighters. You definitely can't deny that. I mean, some of his practices are a little strange, but yeah. But like, by the way,
hey, nothing against Tyrone either, dude. Because like Tyrone has shown that he's a champion.
So I got the monkey god here. Where can people follow you? Where can people see you?
Yeah, man. You guys can go follow me on Instagram at @the_monkeygod. Same with Twitter. You can look me up at Jared Brooks on Facebook. And if you guys want to listen to me rap sometime, just hit me with a DM. I'll send you a rap.
Okay, nice. And then when's your next – where can people watch your next fight?
Yeah, it's March 9th in Lansing, Michigan at Total Warrior Combat against Josh Robinson at the Causeway Bay Hotel and Convention Center. If you guys are around the area, I would love to see. If you guys need tickets, let me know.
Nice, nice, nice. And is it going to be streamed anywhere? Could I watch it on my like, computer or my TV?
I'm going to have somebody go live for me in the event. So anybody that wants to watch me, just follow me, and you'll get to watch the fight.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. You are the best.
Hey, yes. One more thing, Adam.
Yes.
One more thing. There's a guy on this card with me. His name is Chaos Williams. He's going to be fighting on the same card. Everybody check him out, too. He has videos on Worldstar, MMA Globe that are over 500,000 views of him knocking people the fuck out. So watch out for him, too.
Wow. Chaos Williams.
Yep.
And you guys train together?
Yeah, he's here right next to me. We were training right when you called me.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, good luck to Chaos Williams. Love to get him on the podcast soon. Tell him, give him, text me his information.
All right, man. Sounds good. I appreciate it, Adam. And you guys have a great day.
Thanks a lot. Take care, brother.
All right, brother.
All right, that was Jared Brooks, the monkey god. Listen, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you want to see me live, I'll be at the Dime Bar every Tuesday night. I will be at the South Point Casino March 1st. That's the night before the big UFC event. So if you're going to go to that, come see me. I'm at the Ice House Pasadena tonight, if you hear this. Tuesday, February 12th, I'm at the Hollywood Hotel. What the fuck am I talking about? I'm at the Laugh Factory with Michael Blackson. And then Saturday, 16th, I'm at the Comedy Hideaway in Santa Barbara. Sunday the 17th of February at the Wine Cellar in Apple Valley. March 1st at the Dirty at South Point Casino. And then I'm at the Black Box Theater in Boca Raton, April 19th to the 20th. And also I'm at the Reno Laugh Factory, March 19th to the 24th. Sorry, the baby's trying to grab me and all kinds of stuff. All right, and then, so yeah, that's where I'll be. Thank you guys so much. Take care and enjoy your lives. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөрвөлэн. Таа дэ стоотан дөрвөлэн боруулаа.